Spring is in the air, and it's the season for growth and new experiences in your career. Explore the country with rewarding travel assignments through Arias Medical Group. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's ariusmedical.com.
This is the PT Pintcast. Podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our next guest is an original member of Team Gleason and serves as Assistant Executive Director of the Gleason Initiative Foundation. He originally joined Steve Gleason, a former standout football player for the New Orleans Saints, who founded Team Gleason after his ALS diagnosis to be Gleason's primary caregiver. His primary focus is to help provide technology, equipment, and support to people living with ALS so they can live a more productive and purposeful life. He's also engaged with Team Gleason's efforts to partner with technology companies to foster innovative communication devices and other advanced technology and equipment for people with physical limitations. His professional background is in business and accounting, but right now he's just the dude on the other end of the microphone. On the show tonight, Blair Casey. Blair, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
First question is always the hardest. What are we drinking tonight?
Oh, vodka. Dripping Springs.
You're a man after my own heart. I love me some vodka. Vodka soda is my drink. Tonight, I'm going with the Stone Vanilla Bean Porter, rich and exotic with Madagascar vanilla beans.
That's a bit too much flavor for me. I'll go straight vodka.
I do like the vodka, though. We were just talking a second before we hit the record button, and I was saying, you know, the first time I heard about Team Gleason was an ESPN. I don't know if it was a 30 for 30, but kind of had that 30 for 30-ish vibe, and just told, you know, Steve's story and what what Team Gleason was about. And I just, you know, went onto the website and just bought a No White Flags t-shirt, and I've been wearing the heck out of it ever since. And I think everybody out there listening should go buy one, because it's an awesome initiative. It's a great idea.
Is your shirt clean right now, or is it still
right
dirty?
Now it's someone tweeted this out earlier. I wanted to be wearing the shirt. I wear that thing so much, and I actually wore it to work last week, and I just had the mock jersey, so I think it's cool because it's like just the 37 on the front and the 30, and it says Gleason on the back, Saints colors. And So you have to know what, it's kind of cool because you got to be like in the know to know what it is. And I wore it into the waiting room, and I'm a pediatric physical therapist in the waiting room picking up one of my kids. And one of the dads was like, "Hey man, nice shirt, No White Flags." I'm like, cool. Like someone else like knows it's
they
pretty sweet.
They get it. They get it, man.
So let's start from the start. People not knowing right now, let's spread the word. What's Team Gleason? How'd it come about?
Team Gleason started after Steve was officially diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, in January of 2011. And at that point, it was a whirlwind of emotions. You know, just did not know what to expect, but did some research, and he came to the realization that there was no organization identifying and helping the immediate needs of people living with ALS. And what that entails is the immediate needs that he realized were the best technology, services, and care. Since then, the technology portion has really just evolved. He wanted an organization that focused on the now and kind of just change up the big nonprofit bucket, if you will, where you don't know where the money goes. Steve wanted to focus on the now, which was super important, not just to the people that are donating, but to the people that are benefiting from the technology and resources. And, you know, there's also the adventure portion of what we do, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, talk about that. What's the adventure portion? Because I got a link to the video that you had sent over just today, and that's a cool adventure, man.
Steve has always been the very adventurous type, and he realized, I think at a young age, which I was fortunate enough to meet him, you know, before ALS, to feel this out. But when you go on these adventures, and Steve put this into the mission, because for us with Team Gleason, it spreads awareness. You put yourself outside of your comfort zone. You kind of push the physical limitations of what you think is possible. And that way we capture what somebody's going through and kind of expose it to the world. In the Machu Picchu adventure, Steve did that. You know, we had Steve, another ALS patient, Kevin Swan, and Scott Fujita, and I carried both of them up Machu Picchu, which ended up being about a 13-hour adventure, about 10 miles. And that was something that we found showed the gruesome truths of what you have to go through in that situation. But Steve was always adventurous. So prior to his diagnosis, Steve would travel in the off season. When I say travel, I'm not talking glam travel. I'm talking, you know, sleeping in a sleeping bag wherever he could, but just taking in culture. And that's the way that he got exposed to culture and culture got exposed to him. So he kind of took that concept, brought into the mission and thought that, well, if we could do this with a Team Gleason mission and have people go on adventures, then people will be able to see what people are going through with ALS, but at the same time, pushing the people with ALS to live their lives, not live with ALS as if ALS was running their lives.
You guys had some obstacles, man. I mean, you guys custom built some chairs for those guys to, because you were going to have to cover some crazy terrain. And then things, you know, started to fall apart. But there you are with an Allen key and some zip ties and some bamboo, and you're putting that thing back together.
In life, and it sounds kind of cliche, you're always going to be faced with adversity in one shape, form, or another. You're going to be faced with it. And Steve always had the go-get-em attitude mentality, and that's something he instilled in all of us. So when you have something that comes up, you just have to find a way to overcome it. And that adventure in particular, it was a hell of an adventure. I'm not going to lie. But he had people that shares the same mentality, and any obstacle we had, we overcame it. And that's with the foundation with ALS. We try to instill that in people with any obstacle, you can overcome it. But it takes a lot of character to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people don't know, Steve played for a little football team called the New Orleans Saints and immortalized in a play where he blocked a punt, which eventually was like essentially the biggest win for the New Orleans Saints ever. What people might first on the field anyway think of Steve.
Yeah, so after Katrina, the first game back in the Dome, Steve had the most famous play in Saints history where he, I think in his words, he's like, yeah, the coaches gave me a scheme and I just executed and that was it. In all of our eyes, fans' eyes, the city's eyes, you know, the nation's eyes, it's one of the biggest plays in Saints history.
Yeah, that was a big one, man. And he's immortalized in a statue. That's a pretty big deal to be put in a statue like that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember Steve saying, he's like, yeah, I don't remember last time I saw a 10-foot statue of myself. It was never. But he's so the best character about any situation and just so humble. And it's so funny to remember those situations and remember him saying those things. Unbelievable.
First, I want to throw out the website because I think people should make a point to go there and donate, buy a t-shirt, anything. TeamGleason.org. Got some just really cool shirts. You know, shirts you actually really, really want to wear. Cool Never Punt shirt. Just something with Team Gleason, no white flags. And the one I have, the mock jersey with his number and name on the back. So check that out. TeamGleason.org. But I think people got a really, really good taste of what Steve was like, you know, having not known him, because of the movie, because of Gleason, which came out not long ago. I want to talk about the movie because that's where I, you know, first kind of found out about you and how you played into Steve's life. So let's talk about how did you, you know, come across Steve in his life?
I actually, growing up, I was just a huge fan of his. I mean, growing up, there's always people that you look up to and people that, for lack of better terms, you idolize or somebody that's a hero in your life. And Steve was that for me. He was never the biggest, fastest, or strongest player, but he always found a way to make it on the team. He always found
a way to grit.
He did. He still does. And that was something that I was just drawn towards, and I had the opportunity to meet him when I was playing football in college at Millsaps, and the Saints had their training camp there, and I walked up and I was like, hey, Steve, my name's Blair Casey. And he was looking at me. I was like, you and Michelle Gleason. I mean, at that point, it was Michelle Verisco. And he's like, he looked at me. And he's like, how do you know her? And I was like, oh, I don't know her like that. You know, at that point, like, he just started talking to me. And every day, he'd stop and talk to me. And it was just the coolest thing to have somebody that you looked up to stop every day and just take their time to talk to you about not football, but life and, like, what shaped him as an individual and what got him to the next level. And it really solidified my feelings and thoughts and all the emotions that I had about him and football. And when I moved back to New Orleans for graduate school, he called me and asked me to work for him as his personal assistant. That was actually a funny call. He called and said, hey, Blair, this is Steve Gleason. I hung up the phone on him. And he ended up calling back. And I was like, holy shit, that was really Steve. He called. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And so I worked for him when I was in graduate school, and we became best friends. I mean, the guy is the most genuine person, just charismatic. One of his friends called him the ultimate includer, and I didn't know what that really meant until I met him, being around him, and that has been the same thing. It's been a constant throughout. When he was diagnosed, I was working for an electrical company. There was some time that passed in between, you know, and I've always kept in touch with him, and that's when his wife called me and gave me that really great ultimatum. She said, Blair, you either quit your job or I'll kick you in your dick. And that's when I quit my job because I didn't want a swift kick to the dick. Awesome. And
no,
of course not.
And from that point on, it was just, we were a unit.
That's cool. Like you said, he's the ultimate includer. I think it comes across in the movie. And I think why he made a movie, I mean, of course, everybody wants a movie made at him about themselves, but talk about why, because he explains it a little bit, but I want to hear from somebody who knows him. Why did he start, you know, recording himself? Why did he start, you know, essentially making a documentary about himself before he knew he was going to make a documentary about himself?
Initially, it was he had these symptoms. And in the worst case scenario, it was ALS, Lou Gehrig's. Knowing that there was a probability that that was the end result, he wanted to leave the best of him. And that's something so cool. And me now as a parent, I see it and I feel it. I got it at that point, but I more so understand it now. You want to teach somebody what you've learned throughout life. And if you're not there to tell them personally, what a better way than to explain it in the technology that we have these days and videos and emails and things that he's done throughout. And he literally took like the best thing that he learned throughout his life and just started making videos of them. And it's a very special thing. And that kind of translated into the idea, you know, with his friends that, look, you got something that's really special here. What do you think about making a documentary about it? I think initially him and Michelle were hesitant, but they had this beautiful footage that was just so emotional and real that I think, as you saw in the documentary, and I hope a lot of people see, is that people need perspective. And how do you get perspective other than seeing it through the eyes of somebody that is facing adversity?
It's done in such a true and honest way that, you know, you're kind of going along that ride with him, because a lot of it is handheld camera footage, some stuff he had shot for his son, who was at one point, you know, not even born yet. So he was kind of leaving him a kind of a reminder, or, you know, kind of a video log of what his dad was like before he was able to grow up. So it's just a real intimate look into someone's life in a really tough time.
If the statistics are real and accurate, you have 2 to 5 years to live. That's just, pardon my French, it's just a big fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big pill to swallow. And Steve, I don't know many people at that point that would take that responsibility on to say, look, I just want to pass everything on to my son. But at this point, it's everybody. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's a nation that sees a documentary and something that everybody needs to see to gain that perspective. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't get that. And that's something that the documentary portrays, not just with him and his son, or him and his father, or him and his wife, or him with ALS. It's just something, it's a big dose of reality that people just need.
It's called Gleason, just simply Gleason. I'm going to point this out. Currently at 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I want to meet the jackass who didn't give that 100. How does this thing sitting at 96%? You can get it on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, and Amazon Video. I suggest you watch it. I think it's number one, a great story. Our audience, Blair, is mostly physical therapists around the world, and I think it's just a really cool look at what something goes on. Maybe you work with patients with ALS, but this is what happens the rest of the time they're not in front of you in the clinic, which is most of the time.
On that note, you know, Steve, when he was diagnosed, and I got very close with his PT, his OT, he worked with Troy Bourgeois from the Movement Science Center. In the physical therapy world, he was getting all of the rehab he needed, but it was also cool to see his physical therapist really create a bigger bond there outside of just the physical therapy world. He was getting the rehab that he needed with this disease that is very progressive, but he also had a guy there, Jimmy, which, kind of like you, you're kind of going above and beyond the call. He brought it to a very personal level and helped him spiritually. It wasn't just helping him get back on his feet per se with rehab, but it was also rehabbing through the situation, through the progression. Mm-hmm. I don't know many people that do that, but Troy was, and still is, a good friend of Steve's, mine. I talk to Troy every week. You know, it's not just about the therapy physically, it's also about mentally, spiritually, getting sure. back to where you want to be.
That's where a lot of PT education, because I only graduated a couple, you know, 6-7 months ago, that's actually where a lot of the PT education is going, is you treat the entire patient. You can't possibly just see a patient once or twice a week and expect that you're going to have an impact on them. You need to make sure you see the whole picture. So it's glad to hear a PT like that working with Steve that really got that.
Take ALS out of the equation. Having that perspective and working with somebody going through rehab, it's not always physical. Let's say, you know, 90% of it is physical, but that 10%, the emotional, the mental, it ends up being a bigger percentage than the 10%. You know, and if you have the heart, the spirit, the knowledge to kind of rehab somebody, it helps offset the balance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I see that. I want to talk about your role. Your role in Machu Picchu was kind of a technology improviser when the chairs were breaking down, but you also really want to work towards technology for people living with neurodegenerative diseases, the impact Team Gleason can have on providing and helping those dealing with something like ALS, a neurodegenerative disease, and adapting those or maybe creating from scratch technologies. So what kind of things do you guys get into?
Predominantly work with eye gaze technology. When people with ALS or neurodegenerative diseases, they have to use their eyes to communicate or continue to be productive, even with physical limited improvements. And Cole Galloway said on one of your previous podcasts, you know, using technology helps to bridge the gap. You know, mm-hmm. and that's something that is very evident these days. And having that gap, having the ability to use technology to bridge that gap allows more improvement from what I've seen when you're with a PT. And having that technology for Steve and ALS patients obviously allows them to communicate. We have lawyers that can continue to practice being lawyers. We have landscape architects. We have doctors that continue to help other doctors. But in the physical therapy world, you want to continue to develop too physically, and the technology helps you bridge that gap to get there. ALS is a different beast, and we're now pushing the envelope what's possible. We have the technology. We have the lowest cost unit on the market with the Surface Pro PCI Go from Tobii. But what else can that do for us? And now we're looking at what the disease takes away, or any disease, what can technology give back? Steve is one of the few right now that can drive his wheelchair with his eyes.
Wow.
It's crazy to see it, but this was just a harebrained idea he had. You know, he literally asked Microsoft, look, at a hackathon, I know that currently I'm declining physically, but I know where I want to be. Can you help me bridge the gap? And they did it. I mean, within one hackathon, he now drives his wheelchair with his eyes.
That's where the best ideas come from, those harebrained. Can you think we can do this crazy thing? And then all of a sudden, you get the right people in the room. Give them the right reason. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. And next thing you know, that technology will be, you know, hopefully everywhere, hopefully more places.
I mean, that's exactly right. You have to have people that want to push the envelope. And then you have people like Microsoft, our great team we work with there, sure. that actually has the knowledge to put those thoughts in actions.
That's cool. And you just mentioned Steve being able to kind of drive his power wheelchair with his eyes. He recorded, I think I heard the stat was like, you know, several thousand words to give thousands and thousands of different sounds and enunciations so that a vocalization program, so he can still speak. His voice is actually still coming out when he puts words together. Talk a little bit about some of that technology. What else? What else do we know is working there?
There's quite a few options there on the market. There's Seraproc, Vocal ID, and Model Talker. Team Gleason has been in talks with a few of these companies so that individuals with either ALS or neurodegenerative disease can have the ability to record their voices and do it over a span of time to where when they no longer have their voices, or if they're not strong enough, they can still communicate with their own voices. Mm-hmm. And it's been super cool having Steve talk to his son. It's less cool when Steve talks to me when he wants to say something funny, or there's a few phrases I don't want to mention.
I heard in a couple of the videos he did record several banks worth of F-bombs and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's good that he still has that in his holster.
All right, but just to see him speak with his son, and you know, knowing that voice, because Steve was always and still is the most articulate person that I know, passionately, just when he speaks, he commands an audience. And that's from being there when I was younger and looking up to him to now, to seeing him speak with his son. It's something that having his voice, it's just irreplaceable. Especially, you know, listening to his son respond, it's like that's what we want everybody to have with whether it be ALS or any disease. So we're trying to work with partners right now to ensure that everybody has that option.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty cool technology when, you know, a father can still talk to his son in his own voice. I saw Steve interview Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. He's interviewing the guys from Pearl Jam and, you know, brought him to tears, essentially, just with asking such poignant questions with this technology. He was able to do it with his voice. I think it was more personal, and really you could tell it came from him because it was from his voice. And I think the guys from Pearl Jam, I mean, obviously, you know, it touched them. I mean, it brought those guys to tears.
Yeah, I was actually missed that interview. I was a counselor at muscular dystrophy camp, and I left right before it. But as soon as I got back, I went right back up to Seattle to stay with the McCurdy's from Pearl Jam, and I got to see the interview, and I've cried. There's multiple times I've cried with the documentary, but seeing that interview and seeing him interview Eddie, asking him about his father and what he would want his father to know about him, just the same that Steve would want Rivers to know about him, and talking to him, it's something that it's deep, it's special, and you can certainly hear it, feel it, and know it when Steve communicates it, and he killed it with Eddie, and being around him and Rivers, he certainly still does an excellent job with that. Almost brings me to tears now.
Yeah. They were great moments, and I think you talk about somebody's personality. His mind's still great, and he's able to get that out with the use of technology. But technology's not doing something for him. It's just kind of leveraging his thoughts, and he's able to still get those out. What you talk about is the ultimate includer or that type of personality, a really big personality, can still come out. It hasn't taken that away from him yet, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, again, your buddy Cole said users that are impaired are innovators. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Steve is pretty much a pioneer in that category, innovating every technology that can make somebody better. When there's a physical limitation, the technology can give it back. And Steve is just a prime example of how to make that possible.
I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the role of caretakers with people with living with ALS specifically, or just, you know, neurodegenerative diseases as a whole, because PTs were there, but caretakers are going to be there time-wise more and on a different in a different way in multiple settings. So talk about a little bit what that role is like for being a caretaker with a diagnosis like ALS.
Obviously, you have your PT appointments and you go, but PT doesn't just exist when you're there. You have to have it throughout. Well, I mean, it's very important. His range of motion and what he gets out of a day is on a schedule. He has his appointments, but Monday to Sunday, what about every other day you don't have an appointment? What does your day look like? And for Steve and for a lot of patients, ALS patients that we talk to, I've worked with, is there's a schedule. You wake up in the morning, you have to get basically your PT done in the morning when you don't have your appointment to feel like you're getting through your day. You need that therapy to start your day to get to the next point of your day. It's kind of like if you and I were to wake up, you have to have your cup of coffee, right?
Sure.
And without that, your day's not started. So to get your full therapy in the morning, and that's the greatest thing about Troy and the Movement Science Center, is he taught us all everything we needed to know. Before everybody else, there was me. And so every morning we'd have our therapy. We go in and we go through all the stretches, range of motion, and everything else I can do in 30 minutes. And that was how we would start Steve's day, which was, in my mind, and I think still now, knowing everybody else I've talked to, is it's kind of one of the most important parts of the day. That's how they get their cup of coffee with ALS.
That's a good way to look at it, and I like the fact that you guys had a great relationship with your PT. I'm sure that made things a lot easier.
If you don't have a good relationship with your PT, find a new one. Because there's other people out there like Troy, and they'll teach you everything you need to know as a person living with the disease and as a caretaker to help bridge that gap.
How did you figure out how to actually be a caretaker? I mean, you went from being a football player to you got an MBA, accounting, you know, business. You're thrust into this role. You're going to get punched in the dick, so you had to do it. How'd you learn on the fly?
I just didn't want to get punched in the dick. No, I mean, I actually went with Steve to the Movement Science Center dozens of times. And, you know, just being around them, you saw the impact and the results that it didn't just have for Steve physically, but mentally. Like I said, called it a cup of coffee. But, you know, being there and seeing how he felt before, during, after. So when you're there, you see the results that Steve had every morning. Great results. I mean, for me, I didn't have any experience. I mean, I just walked into it wanting to help my friend who was just dealt with a horrible hand. And my background is a lot of education, multiple undergraduate degrees, master degrees, and just picked it up being there. I mean, it obviously doesn't replace being at physical therapist office, but it's something that when you're in that situation, if you can teach, if you're in a nursing home, CNAs, you know, somebody to try to replicate that on a regular basis to make it easier in the PT's office, that's something that's definitely necessary.
Yeah, I like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back with Blair Casey, I want to talk about what it's like to build a home in 24 hours, the Ice Bucket Challenge, and how he got his nickname. Back in a second on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
We got to go pay some student loans. We'll be right back.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPinecast at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPinecast for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency, Aureus Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit aureusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. We're back on the PT Pinecast with Blair Casey from Team Gleason, the website teamgleason.org. That's where you can pick up one of those kick-ass t-shirts. I suggest you do. Follow him on Twitter at Blair Casey Nola. We have three questions powered by our sponsors, Aureus Medical Group. I'm sure you guys did a lot of traveling. You've been to Machu Picchu, from New Orleans, played some football all over. Where's somewhere in the U.S. that you wouldn't mind vacationing or hanging out with Steve? Where's somewhere in the country that you really want to check out?
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, I've heard nice things. I got an Ironman race there. I really want to go check that place out.
It's amazing. We've actually been there and stayed there for the Ironman, and that was actually the first time I've been to Idaho. Was Steve and I and Michelle and Rivers drove from New Orleans to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
You drove from New Orleans to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho?
And then we drove to Banff, Canada.
Oh, my God. Okay, so yeah, you weren't messing around when you said Steve likes to travel and travel light.
Yeah, light's one way to put it. The guy loves adventure.
Wow. All right, that's cool. Second question. What's something you've read recently that really inspired you?
It was actually from a buddy of mine who's a Green Beret. It was basically surrounding the recent election. And everybody's, the most controversial area right now was most recent presidential candidate, now elect, which is just ask why. You know, and I think that was one of the best things I've heard recently outside of the books I've been reading is just ask why. When your friends are talking about the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, ask why. Why are they feeling the way that they're feeling right now?
Cool. What's the book called?
It's actually not a book. It's from a former Green Beret. It's just ask why.
Okay. Third question is, who is someone that the audience should know more about? Usually when we have a physical therapist on the show, we say, who's a PT that we should know more about? But I'll open this up for you. Who's somebody that we should know more about and really check out and look more into?
If it's not a PT, because if it was, I'd say Troy Bourgeois, and you could look him up on the Movement Science Center. And then Michelle Verisco Gleason. Check out MichelleRayVerisco.com. She has her artwork and just Michelle's story about her past and what her journey has been with Steve has been something that's been very inspiring outside of seeing Steve and what he's gone through. And Jimmy, you know the documentary, but seeing the side story of Michelle and everything she's gone through. I mean, you need to see it to kind of make you better. You have to see a story like that.
That's cool. All right. That's three questions. You're off the hot seat there. What happened? What happened in Baton Rouge? Roy and Judy Harvey, they lost their house. Was it a flood?
It was a flood in August of 2016. So they had the floods in Louisiana after a storm. And a local friend of ours, Roy and Julie. Julie has ALS. And they lost their house.
Mm.
And so she is now going through the progression. And we teamed up with the SPP to help them rebuild their house. So I guess 2 weeks ago at this point, we all just shut down the office and went up there and started helping them rebuild their house. House was gutted, and we put in insulation, drywall, and got them on their way.
You did it in 24. It was a 24-hour home build. You guys just showed up with a bunch of hammers and nails and just went at it?
Whole bunch of people.
Wow, that's cool. Well, good for you guys, just getting together and doing something awesome for somebody who needed it, right? Good on you.
That's what Steve inspires.
Yeah. Ice Bucket Challenge. Want to get into this. ALS.org is where you can always find links and information about the pathology, or if you or a loved one has been diagnosed or a patient, you want to find more. The line I love at ALS.org about the Ice Bucket Challenge, and if you don't know about the Ice Bucket Challenge, you've been living under a rock for the last 5 or 6 years. The Ice Bucket Challenge will take place in August, and every August until there's a cure. I just thought that line was really, really cool. Team Gleason, over 18,000 donors and raised nearly $1 million. That was during the 2014 Ice Bucket Challenge. That's gotta feel pretty dang good.
Yeah, Pat Quinn and Pete Frady is two good friends of ours and within the ALS community did a great job. I mean, they're just pioneers in their field, just like Steve, pushing the envelope. Hats off to them. Pat and Pete are just still great great friends of Team Gleason. They actually both have been on Team Gleason Adventures with Steve, and they both carry the torch. And when they carry the torch, they push the envelope, like I said, just like Steve. And that's what we need to make a change. They're doing on the research side, and we're doing right now with the immediate needs of ALS patients, and we couldn't be happier. Those guys are doing what they're doing.
I guess are you listed in the credits of the Gleason documentary as Blair, Manny, Casey?
I think that's what they say.
How did we get Manny? Your name's Blair.
Blair Manny B, a.k.a. Shortcut Sawyer, a.k.a. Piece of shit. Manny B, Manny started from the first trip, like I was telling you earlier, that we drove from New Orleans to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And
oh, that trip, okay.
We were in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We stopped and we're just putting around Santa Fe, and we're in art gallery, and we meet an artist named Blair. And so we're talking to Blair, and obviously everybody has questions when you meet somebody in a wheelchair, you know. And so I'm telling her about Steve and about ALS, and she's like, oh, you're the nanny. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, you're the man nanny. I was like, what? You know, she's like, oh. I was like, yeah, lady, I'm the Manny. And Michelle's like, Manny. And from that point on, I was Blair, Manny, Casey. And so now I have to explain that to everybody why I'm Manny B, Manny Blair.
Well, that woman who you were talking to, the artist, her name was Blair as well.
That was the first Blair that I'd ever met.
And then the second Blair besides yourself that you ever met, what happened there?
I married her.
Pretty good. You're one for two.
I'm one for two. So, I mean, my wife likes it, I guess, because I married her, not the first one.
But Blair and Blair, that's got to cause a little confusion sometimes.
Blair Casey and Blair Casey.
I've never actually come across a married couple that literally have the same first and last name.
And now we have a son. What do you think his name is?
You're kidding me.
It's Knox. I'm kidding.
Okay. I got nervous there for a second.
I tried.
Were you vying for it?
I was, but you're not going to argue with your wife. When she says no, it means no.
Oh, that's awesome. Want to make sure we say the website again. I really want you to go on there. Check out all the stuff that the website has to offer. You can get more in depth about what Team Gleason is and is trying to do. A lot of times people will ask for money or a donation or you to buy something. I think you guys do a good job of explaining what you're doing. So it isn't, like you said, just a drop in the bucket, you know, throwing money into a silo and where does it go? You guys are showing exactly what you're going to do to it. TeamGleason.org. Get one of those shirts, man. I'll put this out there. The next time I'm at a CSM or a next event with a bunch of PTs, I'll make sure to wear my number 37 jersey, and I'll have my No White Flag shirt on. If I spot you at an event, I'll buy you a beer if you're wearing that too. So TeamGleason.org is where you can get that. And go watch the movie. I mean, just do it. It's everywhere right now on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, and Amazon Video. It's called Gleason. It's currently 96 on Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm very confused at. But, you know, there's always that jerk out there who likes to be too much of a critic, I guess.
Yeah, contact me. Whoever's giving that low ball percentage, contact me.
Call Blair. You can follow Blair on Twitter at Blair Casey Nola right now. And so every episode that we record, Blair, is a pint. But before we're done with pints, we do shots. And you're already ready. You're half ready with the vodka right there.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum. Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
What's something you'd want the audience, which is primarily composed of physical therapists from around the country, around the world, what's something you'd want them to leave with, something you want them to hold close to them if they're working with someone with a neurodegenerative disease?
I mean, I think you have a gift educationally, but give them the gift of knowledge and perspective, something that you can't give from your education. Give them something that they can walk away with outside of the therapy that you don't get in the classroom, that they will learn, live, and be able to convey to others.
You're going to leave them with a lot if you can do just that. So I like those words right there, Blair. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you. Appreciate your reaching out to us and me and your podcast. And you kick ass, man. Thank you.
Appreciate your time. And hey, I'm just saying, Combined Sections Meeting, which is the largest physical therapy conference in the world, is actually coming to New Orleans next year. So we might have to have a vodka in person and hang out in your home city.
Done deal.
Done deal. All right, Blair Casey, everybody, make sure you check out TeamGleason.org and buy a damn shirt and drop a donation in the bucket and help out.
Thank you, bud.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast's CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Effective clinical practice is grounded in effective research.
And that is what the Foundation for Physical Therapy does.
For over 35 years now, the Foundation for Physical Therapy has made it its mission to fund and publicize physical therapy research. Their researchers have helped introduce movement in babies with cerebral palsy,
integrate dancing to alleviate ailments in patients with Parkinson's,
and develop video games to implement physical rehabilitation. The work of their recipients would not be possible without the support of donors like you.
Your support can help us continue to elevate the physical therapy profession
and work towards creating a world
that thrives on mobility.
You have the power to make a difference.
Join the power of one
and contribute today at foundationforpt.org.
That's foundation, the number 4pt.org.
Donate today and experience the power of one for the Foundation for Physical Therapy.
Online at foundation4pt.org.